We're going to read God's Word this morning in a few different passages of Scripture. There are three passages that make up the text this morning, the three different passages in the book of Proverbs about the rod of correction. But before we read there, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And then we're going to read verses 5 through 11. And I'm going to refer to this passage in the sermon as well. But Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We stop our reading there and then turn to the book of Proverbs, 1 Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24, we read there, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now we turn to Proverbs 22. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then the next chapter, Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. We'll stop our reading of God's Word there. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father in heaven, there are many ways that the devil attacks our homes. One of them is he would seek to rob our homes of discipline so that we would not use the rod on our children. We live in a world that is constantly telling us that to use the rod is bad. There's even sometimes the threat that if we would discipline our children, maybe the world would take action against that. So we're battling that fear on the one hand, but also sometimes, Father, we find ourselves becoming lazy in this and not teaching like we should and not using the rod like we should. We use it a wrong and sinful way. We pray, O Lord, that through the Word this morning, that as parents especially, we would be encouraged to use the rod of correction and to use the correction of discipline, that we would learn the right way to use this and do this for the glory of Thy name and for the good of our children. So give us hearts that are ready to hear this Word and committed to living by the truth of Thy Word, no matter what the world says, or no matter what it is that we might feel about this. We pray this, Father, trusting the power of the Holy Spirit through the working of the Word. Amen. Like me, you may have been outraged recently at the story that came out of Ottawa County. You maybe saw in the news that there was a mother who was being prosecuted because she took the cell phone from her 15-year-old daughter. She was prosecuted for stealing. She was actually brought to court before the judge dismissed the entire thing. Now, maybe there's more to the story than what's reported and what we see with our eyes, but still, something like that is a bit frightening when we hear it. It's not just we live in a day where if we would discipline our children with the rod and do so in a public way, which we ought not, but if we would, that we would be concerned that someone might report us and charges might be pressed of child abuse. But now it's gotten to the point where any kind of discipline, it would seem, might be charged. And the prosecutor never backed down and said, you know what, I made a mistake here. Well, he said till the very end that this is something that should have been done. Now, that is a background of what's going on in the world today. And we know what the world says about spanking and using the rod and says it's bad for so many ways or in so many ways for our children. But with this, too, we need encouragement in our day to discipline and instruct our children in a right way. So this is one of the reasons that I preached this sermon this morning. It's what, in contrast to what the world is saying around us. But also, I know that there are many of you as parents who are on the front lines now. You have many young children that God has given to you. And the work of teaching them, instructing them is great and difficult at times. And at times it may seem overwhelming. And maybe sometimes we throw up our hands. What do? Because we find our children sinning over and over again in the same sins that they have committed. They don't seem to change. And so sometimes we might look at our correction and our instruction and say it's not bearing fruit. Maybe that's because we're not patient enough. Maybe we need to look at ourselves and ask, am I doing this in a right way? Maybe some of us need to look and say, am I using the rod at all? So we need to look at these things. That's also part of the reason for the importance of this sermon. Because God Himself has given to us an important and powerful tool to use in the instruction of our children, and it is the rod. And it must be used. And discipline must be administered in our homes. So even with our older children, they understand that there are consequences for sin. And that's all to teach them that they are to walk in the way of holiness before our God. So with that as the background, we consider this morning using the rod of correction. Using the rod of correction. Notice first, driving out folly. Secondly, expressing love. And then finally, trusting Jehovah. The rod of correction is the loving way to correct the foolishness that is bound up in the hearts of our children. That's what we read in Proverbs 22, verse 15. It teaches that the rod of correction drives away that foolishness that is bound in the hearts of our children. Foolishness is found and it is bound in the hearts of our children. Not just in the children of the world, not just in the people of the world. It's found in them and it's found in us as parents and grandparents, and adults as well. But it's also true for our children, even for covenant children. Covenant children who are chosen by God. Children who are redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Children who are regenerated by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And we see the fruits of that work of the Holy Spirit in them. Still, there is foolishness that is found in their hearts. That's what we heard this morning in the baptism form. The first thing that baptism teaches us is that we and our children are conceived and born in sin. We are those who need the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ and the washing of the Holy Spirit because of this foolishness that is found in our hearts. But we also, every one of us as parents, have taken a vow before God that we understand something about our children. That's question one of the baptism form. We acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, so they are conceived and born in sin, they're subject to all miseries and yea to condemnation itself. They deserve condemnation. We deserve condemnation because of the foolishness that is bound up in our hearts. So it's not just true for those outside. There's foolishness in us and in our children. This is important for us all to understand this morning. We live in a world that views children in a much different way. We live in a world that says, no, all people are basically good. And children, when they're born into this world, they're born into this world as a blank slate. And the problem is their environment. The problem is what they learn. You need to change their environment. They have it all wrong. Children are not basically good. They're conceived and born in sin. The problem is not just their outward behavior. The problem is found within their hearts. But this is important for us all to understand. It's important for you children to understand. It's important for you young people to understand. Young people, you might think, I'm living a pretty good life. I'm not partying. I'm not doing things I shouldn't be doing. And it's easy to think we're pretty good of ourselves in contrast to the wicked world. But the reality is you still have foolishness in your heart. Children, you have foolishness in your heart. And because that's true, you're in need of instruction and you're in need of correction. But we all have this in our hearts as well. So we should see that reality this morning. The children we love so much. Those little babies that we hold in our arms and are resting so peacefully and quietly. As nice as they seem now, there's foolishness that is found in their hearts. Now, what is that? What is this folly? Well, this folly is not something that they have because there's simply a lack of development. It's not that they spill their milk. It's not that they make a mess when they eat and the food is all over the high chair and maybe in a 3 feet around that high chair as well. The foolishness is not simply that they make a mess of their toys or of their bedrooms or they get into things. No, the foolishness is different than that. You see, in the book of Proverbs, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. And wisdom, we learn, is choosing that way which is right before God based on knowledge and understanding. The beginning of Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Jehovah, the fear of the Lord. Foolishness is the opposite of that. There's no fear of the Lord, but instead what's found in our hearts and the hearts of our children is pride and selfishness. The foolishness of a child then is the actions that follow from that. Disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness. When they will not listen and will not obey. You can go back to Adam and Eve, our first parents, and see what folly is. God told them truth, and the truth was, you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. It was very plain. It was easy to understand. Yet here's folly. Eve thinking that if she eats of that fruit, it's going to make her wise and in fact make her like God, knowing good and evil as she believed the lie of Satan. And not only that, but Eve believing that she could determine for herself what was right and true, whether or not God was speaking truth or Satan was. There you see folly and the foolishness that is found in our own hearts as well, and that's found in our children, where they think, already at a very young age, that they know what is right and good. We see folly in our children, don't we? But it's a good question for us to ask when it comes to our own children. Where do I see folly in their hearts and in their lives? Where do I see this foolishness? For one child, it might be that that child, when you tell him to do something, he looks at you and he says, no. And you tell him again, and he says, no. Or you tell a child not to do something, and he does it. And then you tell him again not to do it, and he does it again. It's open rebellion and stubbornness to the command that you give. But not all children are like that. Some are, you tell them no, and they smile at you, and they don't, and then you turn your back, and then they do it. Some are manipulative. They look good. They try to pretend that they're doing what's right, but they know right as soon as your back is turned, then they're going to do what you told them not to do. We see foolishness in our children. Where do we see it? How do we see it in the hearts and the lives of our children? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves as we're helping our children to grow in holiness. Where do we need to help them so that we can show them and point out their foolishness and address it in the way that God calls us to do? But now another important question is, okay, we see that foolishness in the hearts of our children. What drives that foolishness away? We don't want them to continue to live in foolishness. What drives it away? Well, what we've seen in the book of Proverbs is this: the rod of correction with instruction. The rod of correction with instruction. But see and understand what an important question this is for us in our parenting. We see the foolishness in our children, whatever age they are. The question is now, what drives that foolishness out of them? Well, the Bible teaches us the rod of correction does. It's the God-given tool to rescue our children from hell, which is the end of all foolishness. The text speaks of the rod of correction. Correction means to correct with blows, which is done with a rod. Take notice of that, the importance of a rod. Not using our hands, but using a rod. Now in the scriptures, there are different words that describe rod. There's the rod of a spear. There's a shepherd's rod or club that he might use with his sheep. There's even a scepter that is a rod, which pictures authority. So also for us, a rod can be a wooden spoon or a stick that we might use. But this is the wisdom of God, not to use our hands. So that can be the temptation when we're away from home, or that can be the temptation even in our own homes because it's my hands right here. But there's more of a chance of hurting our child using our hands, actually, because it requires much more force using our hand to make a sting on their rear end than if we would use a rod. But a rod is to be used, the scriptures say. And it's to be used on the backside, that part of the body that can receive such a blow. Strike a child on their head or their stomach or some other place would injure the child. And that would be abuse. And that would be wrong. But on the backside, the flesh is there. So that pain is inflicted, yet no damage is done then to the body. Now, I suppose if you hit one hard enough, that could happen. Of course, we must not hit that hard. Because the rod is used for correction. But now the question is, in the using of that rod, and not just the rod, but when our children are older as well, using different things to discipline them, to show them that there are consequences for their sin, like taking a cell phone away, that is not a right, but a privilege. But the question is, how do we use that? And how do we use the rod? We're disciplining our children. You find yourselves doing something like this. The child touches something he or she shouldn't. Maybe it's a hot cup of coffee on the kitchen table. And mom is there talking, she's talking on the phone, or maybe she's talking to others who are there around the table. And mom says to little Johnny, no. And then he touches it anyway, and so she pushes it a little further away. And so Johnny reaches a little further, she says no. Johnny touches it anyway, and she pushes it a little further away. And then after a little while, the cup's so far away that Johnny climbs up on the table. He's going up after the cup of coffee. And mom says no, and he doesn't stop. And she pushes it away yet again. And this happens again and again and again. Or it could happen within church. That a child who's old enough and knows better, that you say, no, be quiet, or no, stop doing that. And they do it again, and you say, no, stop doing that, and they do it again, and then again, after you tell them not to. And then finally you get to the point where you've had it. You've had it. And so you take them, and you swat them on the butt, and you start yelling at them, I told you no, and why do you keep doing it when I told you no, or whatever else it might be. Has it ever gone like that? I know it has for me. As I look back and remember times in disciplining my own children, it's very easy for it to happen that way. And I would say that that's not the right way to use the rod of correction. Doing it in anger, but also you're telling that child that your command, your no, doesn't really mean no. Don't do that. Well, they do it. Do it again, do it again, do it again. No doesn't really mean no. The child has crossed the line, but they found out where that line is, and so that's what made you so furious. They've been taught that they really don't have to obey until after the fifth time, or maybe the seventh time. Well, you see, the thing we want to see and understand here is that when we use the rod, we have to use instruction with that as well. Instruction must be given. That comes out in another passage in the book of Proverbs, 29, verse 15. I could have included this in the list of texts. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. But even in the whole context of the book of Proverbs, and the instruction that parents are called to give to their children, we see and understand that with the rod, there must be reproof or instruction. And so one of the things that was lacking in that scenario that I set before you a few moments ago was the lack of instruction that was really given. So that if a child disobeys mom, that child ought to be disciplined at that point. Maybe after the first or the second time. And that's because God calls us to use the rod when our children disobey us. Because it's the tool that's used to teach them to obey God. We don't spank our children for spilling their milk, for doing something like that. But it's the rod that is used when our children disobey. And that's what we teach them then. This is what we must instruct them. We must instruct them as to why we spank them, why we use the rod with them. It's because God's called me to. So this mom could say, after Johnny touches the coffee, when she said, no, I told you not to. And depending on his age and so on, that determines how much she explains to him. But at some point she's going to say, that's dangerous for you. You spill that on you, you could be burnt. And by the way, there's something important about that, parents. Teaching our children to obey can be good for their safety. If your child's not going to obey you the first time, and they're running toward the road, and the car is there, they could be killed because we didn't teach them to obey. But there's something more serious than that. The end of not disciplining and teaching our children, the scriptures say, is hell. And so we must teach them to obey, and we do that in this way. Here's why I spank you. God's called me to. If I don't do this, I'm disobeying God, and I must not disobey God. And you didn't obey me when I told you not to touch that. And because of that, I need to spank you. But there's more than that we explain to them. We teach them at that point the gospel as well. We teach them that we have a Savior who died on the cross to pay for the sins of His people so that we don't go to hell for such sins. Touching coffee might not seem like a big deal, but it is. It's sin before God because it's disobeying one that God has put over us. And so we teach them that they're to confess their sin, that they're to say sorry to God and to those that they have sinned against, and they can know that God will not hold that sin against them. And then Mom says, I don't hold it against you either. I spank you so that you learn not to do this again, so that you remember not to do this again, but I do this because I love you. And so that would be a right way of giving instruction. So it's correction with the rod and instruction. That's the way that God has given to us to deal with the foolishness in the lives of our children. Not only does it drive out foolishness, but the use of the rod is an expression of love. It's an expression of love. Proverbs 13, verse 24 is very clear on that. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. He's regularly chastening his son because he loves him, because Mom loves him. Now, what a beautiful word that is. Because the world in which we live says, no, that's not love. But it is. It is when it's administered in a loving way. But the world today says, no, this is bad. This is wrong to do to children. They learn to be physical, and they learn to be abusers, and they're going to learn to hit other people and things like that. But that is not the case when it's not buy into those arguments of the world. But you see, discipline, the use of the rod, reflects the loving discipline that God administers to us. We do this with our children, reflecting the love of God Himself. We learn from God Himself that disciplining with the rod is an activity of love, because our God disciplines us in love. This is what sets the word chastening apart from the word punishment. God does not punish His people. He never punishes His people. But He chastens them in love. That's what we read in Hebrews 12, especially verses 5 and 6. But now let's see and understand and remember the ultimate display of God's love for us. The ultimate display of God's love for us is Jesus Christ. It's when all of our sins, the punishment and the guilt for all of our sins, was placed upon our Savior when He died there upon the cross of Calvary. And there the wrath of God for our sins was poured out. And Jesus Christ bore that wrath in full. And because of that, we believe the words of Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see and know the love of God in this, that God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Baptism this morning pictures that. We're reminded this morning in baptism of the love of God for His children. He so loved them that He gave His Son to die for their sins. In the water of baptism, we're reminded of the shed blood of our Savior, and not just His death, but that He bore the wrath of God in our place. Christ purchased our adoption so that we are sons and daughters of God. He loves us. But the Lord, in His great love for us, not only sent His Son to pay for our sins, but He's also changing us. He's reforming us. And He does that with instruction and discipline. He chastens us in our lives. This chastening is not us making payment for our sins. It's not God getting back at us for what we've done. But the purpose of God's chastening is correction. The purpose of God's chastening in our lives is dynamic spiritual change of heart, of mind, and of our lives, our actions. God's chastening is not simply about behavior modification. No, God's chastening is after our hearts and then the way in which we live outwardly. You see, God sees where foolishness is bound up in our hearts, and He addresses that in different ways and at different times. One of the ways He does that is by disciplining the church. But it's not just that. It's not just disciplining the church. But things in our lives that happen as well, as they're connected to things that we might be doing that are sinful. And so God chastens us in these ways. But He does that to make us more like Himself, so that we are partakers of His holiness. Baptism pictures that also. The water of baptism pictures the work of the Holy Spirit changing us, reforming us, making us more holy in the work of sanctification. Baptism pictures that. As we see and understand this morning, that all of us need chastening. Not just little Johnny or little Susie. We all need chastening because of our sin. There's so much pride, so much selfishness, so much covetousness that is bound up in our hearts. There's so much sin that is found in our lives as it flows out of that. Backbiting and lack of love for one another and failing to worship and serve God like we should. We would all agree this morning that our children need it. But the reality is we all need it, whether we're 6 or 60 years old. We all need chastening. And God gives that to us for our spiritual growth. Now the Word of God comes to us and says, now parents, you love your children, right? Of course you do. You say that, love my children. Well, if you love your children, you're going to correct them. You're going to do that with discipline. You're going to do that with instruction. But if you don't, that says, no matter what you say with your words, that says you actually hate them. Because love is shown in this way. See and understand there are dangers for us in this. There's a danger for us that we don't use the rod and don't discipline our children. That's an age-old problem. There was one in the Bible who is known for that. Children, maybe you remember him. Eli. Eli, who was a priest of God. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And those sons were very wicked. Remember the sin of Hophni and Phinehas? First of all, they would take parts of the sacrifices that the priests were not allowed to take that was supposed to be burned to God. But also what they would do is when women came to worship God at the temple, they would lay with those women. They would be with those women in a wrong way. And so they were desecrating the very worship of Jehovah God there at the tabernacle. And Eli knew it. Their father knew it. And he talked to them about it. He said, sons, you ought not to be doing this. This is wrong. This is sinful. Stop doing it. But that's all he did. And they kept doing it. And he would rebuke them, but they would keep on doing it. And he didn't discipline them. He didn't chasten them. He didn't bring consequences to them. He didn't say, you're no longer allowed to serve here at the tabernacle because you're desecrating the worship of God and you're making others to sin as well with you. And on the list could go. You're off. You're done. You're not doing this anymore. But Eli never got to that point. And the consequences were severe. His sons were killed later on. But we never read that they changed, that they turned, that they repented of their sin. We as parents might think that when it comes to the discipline of our children, patience is a good thing. And it is, but not a misguided patience. Not a patience that overlooks sin. Not a patience that does nothing about the sin of our children. Maybe we think that this is a better way. That we just tell them, don't do it, don't do it. And we keep telling them over and over again, even though they keep disobeying us over and over again. And that leads to us being very frustrated in our parenting. And God says, you're not using one of my tools. I've given you another one. It doesn't mean Johnny's actions are just going to stop and he's going to quit. But use the tool I've given. Use the tool. Teach and instruct with the Word of God, but correct, discipline where that is needed as well. So that our children learn what disobedience is. But there's another danger. That's the one danger, that we don't use it in a right way. The other danger is that we're using it in uncontrolled rage and anger, just as wrong. Where we're not reflecting the love of God in the discipline that we administer to our children. Maybe there's some combination of these two. So we're letting them get away with disobedience, disobedience, disobedience. And finally, we're at the end of our rope, and then we let them have it. And we're so angry, we're in a rage, that we're out of control. And there's no instruction taking place. And they don't see our love at that moment. Now there's a time for a righteous anger. But we must understand that these are two dangers that we face in our parenting. But sometimes there are those who have seen parents do it this way, I've been disciplined this way, and so they're ready to get rid of discipline altogether. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. They'll learn to do it in a right way, a godly way, a way that reflects the love of God. Because what do we want for our children more than anything else? We want our children to grow and holiness. That's the goal of the instruction, the spanking, the correction that we give to them. Parents, let's not forget that. That the goal we have for our children is not that they make our lives easier, that we don't have to discipline them as much or all the rest. It's not about me. It's about this. They grow in holiness. They learn to obey God and love God as well. And that's the goal of these tools of parenting that God gives to us. And so we're going to use the rod because we love our children. But not only are we going to use the rod because we love our children, but as we use it, we're going to declare to them, I love you. Even though this hurts, I want you to know, son, I want you to know, daughter, I love you. We never want it to be that we're spanking our children and we come across as if we want nothing to do with them because we're so angry. Or not to be that way. Spank them and send them off to their room. Get out of my sight. I know moms have said that to kids. Get out of my sight. I can't stand to see you right now. How awful that would be. That's not the right way. But instead, to spank our children and then have them on our laps afterwards and speaking to them of our love, and speaking to them of the gospel, and of the saving work of Jesus Christ, and even praying with our children as well. That's the right way, because then we're not provoking our children to wrath, as we are called not to do in Ephesians 6, verse 4. So let us pray with our children, teach our children, show them our love, and declare to them our love. And then finally, we do this trusting in Jehovah. Using God's tools requires trust. It does. And that's a question for us as well this morning. Do we trust Jehovah and what He says? Or are we going to follow what the world says and all that they say about how children ought to be brought up? You can find all kinds of books in our world today about bringing up children. I've read a few of them. They're bad. I would title one Parenting by Manipulation, one I think that was making the rounds even in our churches. That was pretty much a secular book, I believe, if I remember right. And it had all to do with how to manipulate your children so that they think they're making a decision when really you're guiding them to do it. That's parenting by manipulation. That's not the kind of parenting that God calls us to. And so the question in all of this, as we go back to our homes, parents, is do we trust the way that God calls us to do it? Now I know and understand there are certain exceptions to this because of difficulties that God has given to certain children, but we have to be careful with those exceptions as well. That even then there's discipline. There's the showing to our children that there are consequences at a level that is appropriate to them. But God calls us with our children to use this rod and instruct them. Do we trust Him? That this is the right way. It's not going to mean immediate gratification, instant gratification, that there's a sudden change in Johnny or Susie. But we have a big picture view. That these are the tools that God gives us. There's still folly that's bound up in my heart, so it's still going to be in my children. And so I'm going to keep teaching, I'm going to keep instructing, I'm going to correct, trusting that God is going to accomplish His purpose through me. That's one of the dangers for us too, that I'm going to trust in myself, my way. Leaning on our own understanding, part of Proverbs, isn't it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In parenting, let us not lean on our own understanding. If I beat him hard enough, I'll beat it out of him. No. Well, spankings don't work, so I better try something else. That's probably going to work. No, not my way. Trusting in God's way. And because we love them, and we don't want them to be influenced by the world and live like the world, we're going to teach them, we're going to correct them, and do so in the love of the Lord our God for us. May God give us boldness and courage to do this today. Teach and discipline our children. It is not an easy task, parents. I know that. It's not. But we rely upon God. That's why we sang Psalter number 127 before. We don't build in our own strength. We build in dependence upon Him. Let us depend on Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are dependent upon Thee. We are weak and we have foolishness bound up in our own hearts as parents. So we pray, Father, that even though we are weak and sinful, that Thou will yet be pleased to use us. Strengthen us, Father, to use Thy tools, to use instruction from Thy Word, and to use the rod of correction, and trust that Thou wilt use that to accomplish Thy purpose in the hearts and lives of our children. Father, we love them. And more than anything else, we want them to know Thee and to love Thee, to walk in a way of holiness in the midst of this wicked and sinful world. So use us to teach them, and may we be examples before them as well as parents and grandparents and members of the church. All this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.